This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Wael, a question, and you're going to have 10 minutes. And Wael, you can ask Rania a question after that. You've also got 10 minutes. So, Rania, I'll leave it with you.
I'll just answer this. So,
sit like that.
Yeah. No, it's been really good. Thank you so much. And I always love one of the greatest things. Let me just tell you, when you mentioned the word hell, even in Christianity, there is a lot of movement where people are afraid to talk about hell, and they're afraid of that. They want to see the paradise. They want to see the good side. But I always find it's really encouraging to know, hang on. On the opposite side, there is also a reason. There is actually something detrimental to when we talk about our eternal life and salvation that keeps us separate. So thank you. Yeah, and I think for us, we're all in agreement that this it's something that the Word tells us. It's real. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not something which we try with where snotty people go. It's really... it's hard. For me, my question comes through is you know, you were talking about that reward system and then on a day of salvation, like when you meet on a judgment. Now, maybe if you could just say, how does it work? Because I know that it's something that, you know, and how does that impact your daily, you know, your worship right here? And the question that I add to that is, and I think that's important to us, is how is it shaped by the different culture? So I mean, is it similar between, like, if you go to, you go to your Arab Muslims, and you go to your Sudanese Muslims, would that be very similar, or is it shaped, is there a part of it that is shaped according to the culture?
Thank you. I like when you say, when you go to your Arab.
You're in Egypt.
I'm kidding. No, the Islam is one religion. It's got nothing to do really with culture. Mm. So we may adopt from cultures a lot of things that can be in harmony with the religion, which does not conflict with their main teachings, and can adopt them in our lives. So like when you go to Africa, they dress in a certain way. So long as the criteria of the dress code is fine, the colors they have, the scarves they have, is absolutely acceptable. You go to Sudan, they wear usually white or black. That's the culture, but the criteria of the dress code is the same. Aside from that, everything else is almost the same. There are differences, of course. There are things that would be debatable as well. There are various sects that could do certain things that are not... to be debated that it's not from Islam and so on, but as a whole, everything almost is the same. So when we wake up in the morning, we have 5 daily prayers to perform. No one debate that. 5 times salah, 5 time prayers. And they are to be performed on time. So the challenge is not to pray 5 times a day, the challenge is actually to pray on time. With the first prayer starts at today's 4:45 a.m. in the morning. As of today in Australia. Now, the reward system, similar to, I work for a really good boss, and I give my heart to the company. I wanted to please that boss as much as possible, because I know that he's so generous, and when he sees me doing a great job, he will also give me a little bit of bonus here and there. And to God Almighty is the highest example. So God Almighty is our master. When we worship God, and in Islam the word worship means ibadah, and ibadah comes from another word, means slavery or enslavement. So we enslave ourselves to God Almighty, but the difference between me being a slave to God and me being a slave to another human being is great. There is a great difference. So I'm enslaving myself to someone or to a being that I love so much, that I adore so much, that I trust so much, that I will obey in every aspect of my life as he indicated in the Quran. Where enslavement to human beings, you guys came from South Africa, you know all about it, right? So it's completely different. You hate your master, you hate discrimination, you hate this and that. So the point is, that the reward is, we are not doing the action to get the reward. We are doing the action for the sake of God. That's why this is one of the main phrases that we always as Muslims use. Do it for the sake of God. So you're doing charity for the sake of God, not for the people. The people would benefit anyway. But do it purely, strictly for God Almighty, not to be praised by others. Because if you've done it to be praised by others, if that's your main intention, then the reward that is awaiting you will be also nullified, and so on. So that has got nothing to do with cultures. There are differences in culture, but the main teachings, the main actions that are prescribed in the Quran and through the teaching of the Prophet, you will find them in almost every culture the same.
Thank you.
So the question that I have is from my students. So those who didn't know that my students at the Australian Islamic College, they visited this church a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
And we enjoyed really a very nice day. And one of the questions was that, like you mentioned here about the justice part, if Adam and Eve did not ask me for eating from this fruit, then what's my fault being in it? This one thing, you answered half of it, but if you could elaborate on this, like, you know, that I have no clue that Adam and Eve would disobey God. Why should I be taken as hostage with that sin for the rest of my life? Like, what have I done? I don't even recall. They haven't even consulted me. So this one of the things that we need to clarify. The other thing, why God Almighty would send an innocent person to die for some criminals or some sinners?
Oh, all right. Those are two good questions. Let me just start by saying is that one of the great things is that we believe that when Adam and Eve, that moment when, and then that's our concept in the same way, is when they sin, when they disobey God, to a point I would agree that they were immediately forgiven. We believe that even though Jesus came 2,000, a couple thousand years later, through eternity, that's how the whole process was already started. They were already included. There was not a second where they were out of God's reach, out of his way. They were not even, they were not separated from him, because God in that moment already knew. So the moment that he forgave him, he knew that all of that was done through the death of Jesus, of Jesus Christ. Now that is a very tough question when you think, when I think about it, I had no hand in there, like I wasn't part of that, I wasn't doing that. And the way we see it is the moment is that, and it's not that we are paying for Adam's sin. I'm not getting punished for eating of the fruit. So I think that's very clear. God is also saying, you know, he's not punishing the father for the sin of, you know, of the fathers, each one for its own. That's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. What we are saying in that moment, and the way I understand it, the way I believe that, is in that moment the sin was introduced to the world. So, and we believe that even one sin cannot be swapped. So that's why we, so I'll speak about Jesus in a sec, but when you have one, so imagine you eat this, it's always a very simple one that I've explained to the students at school. I said, imagine you're making you an omelette. That's about all I can make in a kitchen, just so you know. So you make an omelette, you have got a couple of eggs. You put the first egg in, you put the second one in, you add some salt, you add some bread, you put the third one in, and then you put the fourth egg in, and that one is rotten, right? Absolutely, it's disgusting, smelling, all that. Would you eat that omelette? And what we believe, and that's the simplest way, is that the moment that sin was introduced to creation, it immediately infused every aspect. It broke the creation, like it bring it, there was a chasm between us and God. And that's why we are not part of that. We haven't caused the sin, but we are still in the outworking. So Adam and Eve made a decision, and we are living in the impact of that. So that moment, because God couldn't just wipe it on the table, he had to repay. And I hope that's a good answer. And then the reason, and I guess the biggest challenge that I love, look, I think one of the highlights was being, you have amazing students, and they are so inquisitive. We just love the way that they were asking questions and they really put me on my toes, right? So they were really coming from all angles. I love that. The question is, and that's one of the greatest things when we talk about, why would God send someone who is sinless or who is innocent, thank you, to die for us? And I guess the first step coming back is, for us, we believe the same of God. That was God's decision. God made that. He created the system in which he recognized that the only way to redeem us is through Jesus Christ. Now, the way he said why he would do that is, to us, now it sounds, you know, like I think about, if I have to sacrifice, you know, one of my kids, I would be devastated. To us, it shows the picture of God's love to us, but it also shows that through that, it was that even though, and I think that's the amazing thing, is even though God sent Jesus Christ, he also knew that he had the power that, and the capacity, and that point of that absolute confidence in that relationship, that he would not only send him, see him punished, see him pay it, die, but also to rise him back to life and then return him to heaven. So what God does, and that's one of the things for us that encouraged me greatly about our faith in that space, is that God was not looking at Jesus and go, you know, it hurts him to send his son, it hurts, and he knew that was the way, but he also in that space saw, because he looks at it through the lens of eternity, right? So through eternity he realized, he knew, and they were in full agreement that Jesus was able to come down, complete that whole mission of paying all debt to man, like of mankind, the whole brokenness that Adam entered into the world, that was right up there, so that humans, you and I, if we choose to follow him, we're able to find a way into paradise, into him. Awesome. Thank you. And I think we now are handing back to Andreas, because I think the coffee is ready.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, let's give these two some applause. Very interesting to hear. And thank you for the questions as well that you asked. Now it's over to you. You can still ask questions. We are running somewhat late tonight, so I don't think we'll give it a whole 20 minutes at the back. We're thinking about 15 minutes for the...
Yeah, and can I just... challenge you, instead of just wanting to save the questions for us, ask someone,
that's why we're having fellowship. Just grab someone on the shoulder and say, hey, I wanted this question, so please, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask them. This is the greatest space. This is where you can ask questions and introduce yourself, because we are all followers and we are all able to give an answer for what we believe. So
okay, we've had 18 questions come through. Now we've got, we said 10 minutes. I don't think we're going to be able to get through 17 or 18 questions in 10 minutes. So I'm going to take them somewhat chronologically, just from the top. So unfortunately, and sorry for the people that have put in their questions late, we're probably not going to get to them tonight.
Can I make a suggestion, at least for myself? So for the questions that are directed to me, I would be posting them on my page. So if you guys wanted to follow my Facebook page, Wahid Ibrahim HK, then I will answer those questions live or recorded, and I will put them on. So just to help others.
What you and I should do is we should make our own recording.
Let's do that.
And post it.
That's a great idea. A great plan comes together. Yeah, you've got a nice gadget there. We can do that.
Yeah. Fantastic. That sounds like an excellent idea.
Yeah.
So that way we get both sides. And there's actually three questions that are fairly similar. So I'm going to ask the first question, but I'm also going to let you know what the other two questions below that is. So answer the first one, but if, I think you can possibly work in the other two as well.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So in your speech... as well as many times heard by those speaking about Christianity, God is compared many times to a father. how can you explain that God is our creator and above us all when he's compared to one of his own creations? Right. Now, the reason I say it's related because the next questions are also related to God the Father and the definition around the Godhead. So please give us a definition of your God in your Christian belief. Thank you kindly. And I love when you call God as Father, but why you call Jesus as Son. So that may be a little bit different, but I'll just mention it in case you were thinking. So that's question two.
I think the first thing is that one of the biggest mysteries to explain in our faith, if I could just start with the second one first, is explaining, you know, who we believe. We believe in God as one, made with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I think one of the biggest challenges is to explain the Trinity into one. But if I come back to if I jump to that first question, one of the things that it took for us to be very clear about is that God is God, right? And when I talk to him about Father, it is an attribute that he has made known to us. When I say his Father, it shows how it's a revelation of God. So we have to think God is above us. He is superseding any of those things. He is perfect. His ways are mine, not his ways are his. He lives in a realm that you and I cannot fathom. So what he is trying to do, and when we talk about God our Father, he reveals that personal, intimate nature of God, meaning that he is caring, that he is concerned in a way that the Father, like, and this is the comparison. So I don't think of God, when I say to him as Father, that I'm diminishing of the character of God. Rather, what I'm doing is God is, what I'm seeing, what I'm believing is, God has known that he has not revealed him fully to us, but in a way for us to understand the relationship. And scripture tells us that as a father is that he loves his children. And that's a description of our relationship, of how, you know, what you were saying is like he's so intimate, he is so close to us, in, you know, and as a father, I love my kids dearly, and I would do anything for them, and that's so. That is a way of describing that love.
Yeah, thank you, Ronya. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to add anything, but I was just, as you were saying that, I was thinking that and this is probably common in our beliefs because this comes from the Old Testament. That I've noticed that we often see God as placing something in His creation so that we can understand him. And I think he's created fathers so that we can understand who he is as a father. And that's kind of what came to me in that question as we were talking about. But thank you for that, Renia. Question for you, right? Can a Muslim have assurance of their salvation before they die? Or do they have to wait to find out?
Absolutely. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said very simple, few words to assure Muslims of their salvation. And this is another misconception that I encounter when talking and discussing with Christians in general, that they think that salvation in Islam is not guaranteed. But actually, the Prophet ﷺ said, whosoever said, La ilaha illallah, whoever said there is no God worthy of worship except Allah will enter paradise. What other assurance do we actually need? It's very simple, straightforward. However, Muslims are not bragging about their salvation. So we were told by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to always be humble when it comes to bragging about this assurance, because we are not. We don't know what may happen along the journey of life. We may slip, we may leave the faith. I have seen people in my journey leaving faith, those who are very devoted Muslims or devoted Christians, and they deviated from the path. You never know what could happen, what Satan had planned for those people. So we always keep that hope and faith up in God Almighty to allow us end our life upon that faith, upon La ilaha illallah. But the assurance is there. If we died upon La ilaha illallah, the assurance is given.
Okay. No, thanks for that, Mahil. Before you hand that back to Tom, I gave Renia extra time. Something that you said triggered something that I just want to ask you as well. That came out of your answer, if you don't mind. Can you lose your salvation?
If you left faith, if you abandoned your religion, if you abandoned the teachings of the Quran, the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and you died upon that, definitely there would be no salvation.
Now that's, it came about because we believe that once you believe in Jesus, that that is a one-way salvation. So once you're saved, you're always saved. And that's why I asked the question.
So there are no Christians who will ever be faith and abandon that part?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. We believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. But there is also one of the things is that I think of the example of Judas Iscariot in the scripture. So he was walking with Jesus. He was part of Jesus. But when you look at his pathway, we could see that there was a clear pattern that even though he was confessing the faith, he has not committed the faith, because down the track we see that he has given his heart over to Satan. But he was, that didn't happen overnight. He was, they've known and tell him that he was a thief, that he was, he had his own mind, and throughout the text we see that. So there are people that would say that they have accepted the faith, but we don't think, that they may not necessarily, like Judas, has really accepted that. They might just say the word for whatever reason. I think down at the bottom of all of this, it is, when you believe that when you accept Jesus in your heart, you follow, but it's always that challenge, is that, is it something that you have said for the real reason, or,
I think the time that we've got, it's almost like it doesn't do justice. There's so many things that we could still talk about. I am going to go on to the next question, but I'm really looking forward to, the time that you can spend on answering some of the rest of the questions in here as well. So the next question for you, Renia. I like the way this is phrased. $1,000 goes to the person who finds the verse in the Bible that states, Jesus is the Son of God. I have looked into this and concluded that it does not exist.
Yeah, we can share, we can split it. So what part of that is that? So you are actually wanting me to quote a scripture, right? Like on the spot. Man, that puts a guy that's over 40 on the spot. With a fading memory. For me, this is the conviction. There's a couple of scriptures where if you read the verse, it points out that Jesus calls himself Son of God. And one of the things that Matthew 11 is one that comes to mind, is where Jesus said, the Father is revealed in me and I reveal the Father. We are one. There's another scripture in John where he talks about, like the Father and I are one. We are connected. I am his Son. John 1, he said the word became flesh. So the word in that word means logos, and that's a word that is used for Jesus. So yeah, those are just a couple, but there's a few more, but the most prominent one for me is John 1, where he said the word was with God and the word became flesh. And that actually shows the powerful way that how Jesus was already present in Genesis 1, where he says God created.
Okay, thank you,
Renia.
Matthew 16
And that's why we have an audience here as well. Yes. So yeah, this.
Thank you, John.
John 3:16, the only begotten Son.
Yes.
We are adopted children, but Jesus was the only.
The question was, where is
in the Bible
where
John
it says
16.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
I know
these types of questions.
But
this
gave
is a Muslim
his only begotten Son.
That's it. Right. Now, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We can have a discussion later about the concept of the sonship of God versus prophethood. We can have those discussions to get into details, I think. But $1,000 is mine.
I don't think we've quite come to a conclusion on that one. I'll ask one more question.
What you and I can do is we can call it the $1,000 minute. Our first podcast.
So if we are born in original goodness, how is it that we do fall short? And when we do, how do we know if we can achieve forgiveness?
Yes, so as we said, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that every child was born on that innate nature, complete purity. And it's his parents or the people who would bring them up who will direct them to the life that they will lead later on in life. Some of them would be Muslims, some of them would be Christians, some of them would worship other things, and so on and so forth. Now, if we were born on the original goodness, how could we later sin? Or how could we go later on in life and do errors? Because God Almighty also told us in the Quran, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ, that God Almighty has created our soul, our self, with the inclination to commit the wrong. We are curious human beings. When we see the fire, what do? If we see something out is on fire, what do? We run toward the fire. We want to have a look. We want to have a selfie probably with them. Yeah? Yeah, we are curious human beings. Animals will run away the other direction. Because that's their nature, is to protect themselves. We have that inclination towards something that probably harmful.
We're curious.
So God Almighty created us with that mechanism. That doesn't mean that we are inherently evil. It means we just have inclination. One of the things that I said to one of my colleague back there, we were talking about the same exact thing. I said, look, if you look at human beings, in general, we do more good than evil. We do more good than evil. Why are we not rewarded collectively? So if Adam committed one sin and we are all carrying that sin, how much goodness he had performed, that we were not rewarded for it collectively also inherently. So
well, it's supposed to answer the question, not right.
Oh, yes. I'm in the debate mode now. No, the point is that the nature of goodness does not mean that we may not commit mistakes. We may commit mistakes. Now, God Almighty taught us also the system by which we can return back to Him. And that's what I mentioned in my lecture, the four conditions of going back. If you admit that you have committed a mistake to God Almighty, if you quit the sin immediately once you realize it's wrong, if you commit never to go back again, God Almighty promised forgiveness and erasing of those sins. God said in the Quran that good deeds afterwards, after committing the sins, if you follow them with good deeds, they will wipe out the bad ones.
Quit.
Yeah, quit.
Commit.
Admit, commit, amend.
Yes.
Amend is in relation to other people.
Very good, you've been listening.
Yes.
Okay, right. We're out of time, unfortunately. And like I said, I think there's so much more to be said and so much more still to be processed. I'm looking forward to what you guys are going to do next, even though it's not going to be part of this forum, it's going to be offline. That should be really good. I think we've been really blessed with what you guys have said tonight.
Can I just encourage you, because we are good friends?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I was going to give you a hug. When you walk into Thorny Square and you see someone, just say hi. It's amazing. It's very simple. Most people will appreciate a hi. They will both probably either be surprised, but they will say hi back.
With a smile, don't forget. With a smile.
With a smile, of course. Yeah, yeah. Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. And the way is so much important, right? I always say this. The way I say something to my wife, if I told her, are we eating this? Or I'm eating this?
Definitely.
Same truth, two different responses. So the way we do things often is, and it's the most important, but what we do through this is we build, we connect, and we learn. And out of what we learn, We listen, we learn to love. And I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thanks for everybody coming out tonight. Thank you. Thank you, guys.